Pleasure to see everyone tonight. Appreciate everyone coming out. It's been a bittersweet afternoon that a number of us here at Tanner have spent. Several of our ladies are still over at Betty Perry's. Faye and I went to see Betty this afternoon, spent the afternoon there. And she is fading. And in previous visits, Betty had given me various instructions concerning her funeral. This is long before it was going to be, you know, we weren't expecting anytime soon. This was over a year ago that I visited Betty and we talked about this. And she was just wanting to make sure she was prepared. That's just the kind of person Betty is. She was that kind of teacher. There are students today that still look back at her as one of their favorite teachers. Betty was just that, is that kind of person. But being prepared is something she likes to do. So she called me this past week and said, "Robert, I'd like for you to come over. I need to talk to you." Actually, she had Sandra, Wade's sister, call me. Sandra had come in from Texas and is over there even now. So Sandra called me and the phone came up on my phone, Houston, Texas, and I'm going, robocall. Y'all get those? You know, you answer it, you don't know if somebody's there or not, and when they do, it's, "Hi, this is Sally Mae, and I have a new insurance quote for you." Or, you know, "I've just checked out your credit card debt," or, "Your computer has a virus." And you never know what you're going to get. So I see Houston, Texas on the phone, and I'm like, it's not Brian Davis. He's already called me, and I have him in my phone. And he's in Austin, by the way, so that don't matter. That's not Houston. So I'm going, I didn't answer. I heard, "Hello?" I heard her. "Hello?" "Oh, okay, it's a human. Hi, yes. Yeah, this is Sandra Hogan." "Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I was just being careful. Betty would like for you to come over if you could." So went over there, and she had made some changes in her arrangements. But in the first meeting, she had told me that Psalm 121 was one of her favorite psalms, one of her absolute favorite psalms. And when I went to her that day, last week, she said, "You know, there's nothing like Psalm 23. She said, "Really, that one just stands out, and I'd really like for you to use that one instead of Psalm 121. It's still one of my absolute favorites, but I'd really like for you to use Psalm 23 in my funeral message." Well, that gave me pause to think, and so I changed my Sunday night sermon. Tonight, we're going to look at comforting words from Psalm 121. Y'all, excuse me, I'm sorry. Psalm 121 divides itself into four simple divisions. It's just eight verses. It's called, in many of your Bibles, it'll simply be described as a psalm of ascent. A psalm of ascent. And that simply means looking up to God. Looking up to God. It's just praise to God is what it boils down to. And several of these, some are psalms, toward the end of the book of Psalms, it's mostly just psalms of ascent. And you have some from Solomon, you have some from, at least one from Moses, and several from David, and then many anonymous psalms. And this is one of those anonymous psalms. We don't really have an author to whom we can attribute this psalm. But it is indeed one of Betty's favorite Old Testament passages. And I'd like for us to examine this tonight, the four divisions of Psalm 121 as we consider comforting words. We can have confidence in the Lord is what verses 1 and 2 make clear. Look with me. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help." It's not from the hills. No. "My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." I will lift up my... Where were most castles built? on a hill or on high ground? Where would you find an army's stronghold typically? On the high ground. The high ground is easier to defend. The high ground would be a place of a great lookout. You'd be able to see off in the distance. And if one of the regional villages was under attack, if you're up on the high ground, you can see the enemy coming. And you can launch a defensive assault down there, and you can protect your people. So as the person is looking to the hills, that's not where he's going to get his help. His help comes from the Lord. His help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Faye and I have had the privilege to visit some of these strongholds in India. Ashley was able to see one of them. Christina saw two or three of them in her trip years ago, and Faye there too. But we've seen some of these massive forts, these beautifully structured forts, and strong with thick walls. I mean, I can't imagine ancient weapons being able to actually pierce or penetrate these walls. Big, beautiful strongholds way up on the top of a hill. And I mean, we drove up there. We didn't walk. We drove up there. But folks, when you see something like that, it's stunning to think of how they built these things. These massive structures, great walled fortresses upon these mountains. How did they get the materials up there, and then how did they construct them? Some amazing things, and yet they were made by man. And this is just a structure sitting on a mountain that no man made. Comforting words? Let me just tell you. The Lord made the heavens and the earth. That's the source of our help. That's where our help comes from. We may get help from our government. We may get help from the police. We may get help from an EMT. We may get help from a doctor or a nurse. We may get help from an attorney when in time of need. We may get help from a brother or sister when we are in a pickle, when that catastrophic load jumps on us, and so our brethren rise to help us. But our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's where our help comes from. So it's not a problem to ask someone here for help. That's appropriate. It's right. But recognize where your help actually comes from. Recognize that it is truly from the Lord. And that will give you comfort. And there are times when no one will know what your needs are, when no one will understand, and there will come a time when no one will be there to help you when that need arises. There will come a time. And yet your help comes from above, from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's the one on whom you should trust. Put your trust in Him. You see, the second division of this is that Jehovah gives us His watchful care. His watchful care is upon us. Watch this, verse 3 and 4. He will not allow your foot to be moved. Yesterday in tug of war, those children nearly killed me. There were four kiddos over there. And Kylie was anchoring, and she yanked me off my feet. I'm telling you, because I stepped on the rope, and there was no traction. And I went down. And I mean, they couldn't pull me because I was laying down. You try pulling me laying down. Just give it a try. It ain't easy, all right? But the fact is, I didn't have good footing, and I slipped, and I fell. I didn't stand a chance, not even against those little guys, because I went down. God will not allow you to slip. He will not allow your foot to slip. God will give you solid footing on which to stand, something you can depend on, solid footing. How many of you have ever seen quicksand? Ever in your life? Now, we saw it all the time on those old black and white westerns, didn't we? It seemed like the West was just half covered with quicksand because there was always a bad guy that went down in the quicksand. You'd see his little black hat floating on top. Remember those old TV westerns? Never heard of anybody dying in quicksand. It's just not as abundant as you might think. Okay? There may be some places in the world where it's there. But no. No. You don't have to worry about quicksand, really. But you do have to worry about where you put your feet. You do have to be careful about where you put your feet. You have to step in the right place, or you'll end up taking a tumble and breaking something. Or you'll end up stepping on something in the dark, like the night I knew that scorpion was there, even though it wasn't, and I nearly tore my toe off my foot, stepping on a rock in the dark, trying to avoid that scorpion that wasn't there. Okay? This was over in India years ago. I told y'all about that. That was a terrible night. You got to be careful where you put your feet. Well, if the Lord is directing your steps, He will make your path sure. He will make your steps certain. He who keeps you will not slumber. God's never off duty. He's never on vacation. He's never taking a nap. God is always on the job. And He's always watching after us. He's always with us. He's not like us. We need our rest. We need our rest. We need sleep. We need nourishment. We need a vacation sometimes. We need to take a break sometimes. Jesus and His disciples went away for rest from time to time. The crowd would be pressing against them so much they didn't even have time to eat. And Jesus would say, come away and rest. And so they would leave the crowds behind and go off and rest. God is always on the job. He's not like us. He's not like us. He who keeps Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. God is always watching. That will comfort us. We can put our confidence in the Lord. He is our helper. The one who made heaven and earth. He is the one from which we get our help. And God is always watching, always on the job to keep us safe. And then the Lord is your shade. Look at this in verse 5 and 6. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord is your shade. I love shade. I do not want a house where there are no trees. So I will never live in West Texas, Brian. I just will not. A house where there are no trees. Brian was talking about the trees of West Texas. Those are mesquite bushes. Those are not trees. They hardly have a shade. And even their shade has thorns in it. So just that's not going to help you much. But the real shade, these massive oak trees that we have around here, these pine thickets where if you're out in the woods and you're walking through a pine thicket, and I mean, it's a big, tall, thick pine thicket. They got that carpet of pine needles on the floor. Man, you could lay down and take a nap there. There's lots of wonderful shade in this world, and we love shade. Shade is a place where you're out of the sun, out of the direct heat. Well, shade also represents protection in the storms. It represents safety from any kind of an assault. The shade is akin to the one at your right hand. The Lord is your keeper. In military, even if you're a left-handed person, if you were part of an army, you were taught to use your sword with your right hand and hold your shield with your left hand. And everybody had to do it the same way, because this way the person to your right had a shield on your right. He's holding it at the left, but it's also on your right. And you want a really good warrior at your right hand. He will give you safety. He will give you protection from your vulnerable side, because where the shield is, you're more protected. The sword is for the attack, but it's also susceptible to attack. And so if you've got somebody at your right hand that you can depend on, that's your keeper. That's the person that's going to protect you in the battle. God is our keeper. He is our right hand. He is on our right hand. And He is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Any of the problems that this world may offer, God is the source of our protection. He is the source of our comfort. And then the last section is simply, the Lord will protect your life. Now we know that death is coming for us all. We know that unless God does something incredible, Sister Betty will not be with us very long at all. Unless God does something incredible. The fact is that 10 years from now, there are several of you in this room, including possibly myself, that will no longer be here within the next 10 years. And maybe even some of us within the next 5 years. And maybe some of us within the next year. And perhaps some of us within the next day. I hate death. I hate what it represents. I hate the cause of it. It was sin that brought death into the world. It's sin that caused death to become a reality for man. I hate death. I hate the separation. I hate the anxiety that's associated with it. I hate the grief that it causes families if they have to say goodbye to somebody they love. I hate death. As much as I love God with all my heart, I hate death with all my heart. I hate it. But it is necessary, because death is the doorway through which we pass into eternal life. And we have to make that journey. We have to make that journey. And there's fear and there's trepidation. There is anxiety over it because we don't know how we will die. You know, ancient societies, their warriors, all their warriors would pray, oh God, whatever God they prayed to, oh God, let me die a good death. Let me die a good death. It is said that among some of the Native American tribes in the Old West, they would say it is a good day to die. That this was a common phrase in their native tongue that you would hear on these warriors if they were anticipating a battle. It is a good day to die. Let me die a good death. But it still comes with a certain amount of anxiety and dread and fear. And that's really normal. That's not a lack of faith on our part. It's simply the fear of the unknown, something we've not experienced before. And though we see others die, and I have seen my share of people dying, and I'm sure many of you have as well. The younger ones of us, probably not yet. But I have seen my share. I've seen more than I want to see. But I know if God lets me live, I will see more. And that's okay. Because God will protect our life. Now, wait a minute. That sounds like a contradiction. If we're going to have to die, how is it that God will protect our life? I want you to notice these two verses as we close this lesson. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. Now, wait a minute. What if there's a violent attack and I am killed by someone? That's definitely evil. How is it the Lord shall preserve me from all evil if I am assaulted and killed in some violent attack? Or if a drunk driver crosses the middle line and hits my car head on and kills me and my family? How is that that God is preserving me from all evil? Well, read on. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The Lord shall preserve you. And even if you die, it is the Lord that shall preserve you. It is the Lord that saves us. You see, being saved from physical death is not the best thing. The best thing is being saved from spiritual death. The best thing is to be saved from eternal separation from God. And that's exactly what's under discussion here. That's the point that the psalmist is making here. God will preserve us. No evil can take me away from my God. No amount of suffering, no amount of pain that the world may inflict on me can take me away from my God. He loves me. He's watching over me. He's protecting me. And He's preserving me
for eternity so that I can be with Him when I draw my last breath. When you draw your last breath, you can be with Him. That is such a comfort that we don't have to be afraid of death in the sense that those who know not God should fear death. In the sense that those who do not know our Lord Jesus as their Savior and Lord, they should fear death in a great way. But God is our strength. He is our shield. He is our shade at our right hand. He is our keeper. He is our preserver. He is our help from above. The God who made heaven and earth will keep us, protect us, watch over us, preserve us. Doesn't mean that we're not going to suffer. It doesn't mean that we're not going to be attacked. It doesn't mean that evil will not have its way with us. But it means that evil cannot defeat us. If we will love God, submit to Him, serve Him, obey Him, live for Him so that we can die with Him and be home with Him on that last great day. That's what we have to look forward to. And that is the psalm that gives so much comfort. That's why Betty loves this psalm. And I hope you love it even more now than you did before. Do you have this comfort? Betty assured me that she's ready. She's not looking forward to it. Not at all. But she said she's ready. Her sins have all been forgiven. She has faith in God. She's put her trust and her commitment to Him and her trust in Him. And she's committed her soul to Him. And so when her time comes and she breathes her last and she departs from that body, that feeble, weak, tired body, she will go on to meet her God. And so shall we someday. May it be said of me, may it be said of each of you, when that day comes for you, I am ready. I am ready. Are you ready? If you're not, get ready. Because that day's coming. Get ready. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, whatever way we can be assistance to you, if you need to come, do so now as we stand and sing.